Everyone's an expert in something. Well, don't believe me? Well, you should, because I won $7 playing Mets trivia. Fleetwit is a trivia app where it pays to know sports. Like, it actually pays. Challenge players in one-on-one trivia battles in over 250 different categories. Whether you're a sports fan or a Disney nut, there's something for everyone on Fleetwit. So try it now. Just enter the code PRESSROW at checkout for 20 free credits. You can't lose. It's all upside. Download Fleetwit from the App Store or go to fleetwit.com/PRESSROW to start winning today. This episode of the Press Row podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of Out of the Park Baseball 19 and Franchise Hockey Manager 4. It's a great time of year to play Out of the Park Baseball. We just released our latest patch, including the September Quick Start. So if you want to take control of your favorite team or your rival and see if you can steer them all the way to the playoffs and the World Series, this is a great time to do it. Out of the Park Baseball 19, available today on Steam, on EA's Origin, on Origin Access. If you're a subscriber, you just go play it. And, of course, directly from Out of the Park Developments at otpdevelopments.com. Franchise Hockey Manager 4 available on Steam and directly from otpdevelopments.com as well. And be sure to check out TJ, Chris, Adam, and the entire Out of the Park Developments community every Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night on twitch.tv/OOTPDevelopments. TJ takes you through Out of the Park Baseball 19, as does Chris, and then Adam and Jeff do their thing with Franchise Hockey Manager. We have a great time on our streams. Come join us. It's a lot of fun. And if you can't, that's fine. We always archive them to our YouTube page at youtube.com/OOTPDevelopments. Adam, Chris, and TJ are great at what they do, and it's a lot of fun. OutOfTheParkDevelopments.com, Out of the Park Baseball 19, Franchise Hockey Manager 4. Enjoy the show.
All right, we are back. Well, we're back together, that is. I'm Brian Weed, I Pasta Padre. With me for this episode of the Press Row Podcast, I've got Rich Grisham and TJ Larriman, that sports gamer. It's been a wild month for sports gaming with the release of really far too many games within a condensed period of time. We've talked about that many times in the past, so we're going to catch up on the ones we've been spending our limited time with. There's also a bit of news we'll cover towards the end of the show. So let's start with Rich. Get us going. What's the first sports game you've been into lately?
So for the most part, it continues to be Pro Evolution Soccer 2019, my favorite thing. Quick update, as folks who listen know, I am in the Master League and I am Everton, and I have downloaded all of the correct uniforms and stadium names and all the right stuff. So other than the stadiums themselves, which I've talked about, obviously, which is a downer because there's so few stadiums in the game. It even sort of feels like the real thing. Not as good presentation wise, certainly not as impressive as FIFA, but it at least for somebody like me who has a decent knowledge of European football, it ups the ante. So my Master League, I'm Everton. I lost three of my first four matches, and since then I've been on a tear in the Premier League. There are about 10 or 11 matches left. And I am 5 points clear of everybody else at the top of the table, as they like to say. 5 points clear of Arsenal, who's in second place. And I think 6 clear of Liverpool. But it's not all, it's not all wine and roses. Although a couple more things. My striker, Song Tosun from Turkey, who is really on Everton, is leading the Premier League in goals with 20. Second place is Harry Kane with, I think, 13. So I'm on pace to win the goal championship, but I did lose the FA Cup. I crashed out of the FA Cup, and I was hoping this year to win both the Premier League and the FA Cup, and I lost. And then in my first match back from losing in the FA Cup, I had a derby match against Liverpool. Everton and Liverpool are both in Liverpool, and they thumped me 6-2. So just when I kind of was like, I'm good. I got brought down to earth a little bit by Pro Evolution. So I still am extremely confident that I will win the Premier League, but I'm not, as obviously I lost in the FA Cup in the third round against, by the way, a championship division club. So I just played terribly. Don't even know what happened. And so that's pretty much what's happening to me in Pro Evo. Although I will also say, And TJ, you'll be especially proud of me. I have dabbled in the whatever it is that's their version of Ultimate Team.
My club.
I can never remember. My club, right? I created a club, and I got some players, and I've been using the agents to get better players. I don't really understand what I'm doing. And I if somebody knows of, and I haven't even Googled it, right? If somebody knows of a website or some sort of, whether it's a video or something that can explain like how my team actually works in like 15 minutes, I would love that. Because, you know, one of the sort of long-term bugaboos of Pro Evolution is poor menu design and really lack of explaining stuff. They've gotten a lot better in doing a good job when you're playing the game. But I want to like my club, and I played a couple of matches and not done particularly well, and I've gotten a few good players. You know, they obviously give you a couple of good guys to start. But I just don't really understand what's happening. But I am sort of looking for another way to play Pro Evolution, because it looks like by the end of the second year of the Master League, I'm probably going to win not only the Premier League, but the Champions League, as well as the FA Cup, because I'm going to go on a big spending spree because I'm going to win the Premier League this year. I'm going to sell off most of my players who don't start. So, you know, I'm dabbling. I'm spending a lot more time in it and, you know, a couple hours in some other stuff. So that's my Pro Evolution 2019 update, Brian.
TJ, have you played that My Club mode in the past at all?
I played it a little bit like 2 years ago, I think. And I actually kind of liked it, like the way that they set it up, especially with the acquiring cards through like agents, that kind of.
I like that too.
Cards.
I like that.
Yeah, rather than just like opening random packs in the EA version of Ultimate Teams. The agent setup lets you. If you get an agent that's looking for strikers, or you can get agents that are looking for Spanish strikers that play in the Premier League and stuff like that. So you can kind of really narrow down what card you're looking for. I think that's a really cool setup they have. And I believe I played a little bit last year, because about a month after they put out the game, they actually released I think it was called Pro Evolution 2018 Lite. L-I-T-E, yeah. Big capital letters.
It's a free-to-play version of the game, which is centered around the My Club mode. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was going to actually bring up, was I wonder how, to the people who have interest in these type of modes, how it stands up as a standalone, almost a standalone game of sorts, because people can literally, without having spent any money on Pro Evolution Soccer, soon after release, at some point coming up, they'll be able to download and play with really no restriction, the My Club mode. And
that's what I'm planning on doing this year, is playing it that way. Especially because, as Rich said, you know, the presentation is not there that FIFA has, or, you know, the licenses and stuff. You know, you've been saying recently that NBA Live isn't about an NBA game to you.
No, and, it's really not anymore.
But that's kind of the way I play Pro Evo when I do.
Mm-hmm.
I never really think of it as, you know, a FIFA, the organization, not FIFA, the video game.
Well, with Pro Evolution, we know they're lacking a lot of licensing. How big of a, how much damage does that do to kind of the player pool within My Club? Does it make it less compelling because it's missing?
No, they're all in there. Everybody's in there.
Okay, so they're all in. But as far as their
and the
club,
names of their clubs too, like the there's a weird thing. Yeah. Because, you know, all of the stuff I downloaded, I'm sure didn't apply to my club. And that was one thing I was very surprised about. It sure seems to me. And again, I'm not the world's most authority, you know, the world's best authority on international football, but I know my fair share. And there were all of the names, you know, the Ronaldos, and but it said Ronaldo, Juventus, right? Like it said, and I don't know if they had the logo of the club. They may or may not have it.
So, yeah, they're probably not using any official branding and that sort with it. Kind of reminds you of games or like fantasy sports where you can use names and everything without having to.
Correct.
And certain games like Out of the Park Baseball prior to having MLB licensing. So what I think I was thinking of was not so much
I don't know what you're talking about, Brian.
Yeah, I know
you don't. Not sure I understand.
What I think I had in my mind when I said that wasn't so much that relating to the current the pool of current players, but I know each between FIFA and Pro Evolution Soccer, they have their own legends, which of course legends are not included in any sort of licensing unless they want to go out and sign them individually. So they do have a different roster in that sense, and I'm sure FIFA puts more money into that. But yeah, I was just kind of curious whether there were other factors in there as far as making it compelling or less compelling compared to like Ultimate Team.
Well, I mean, the thing about it to me is the game, playing the actual game is so good. Set your controls to control number two, control like, set two, yeah, whatever the FIFA default controls are. Yeah, whatever it is, just make sure you do that. And then whether you're playing in Master League or you're playing in My League or the Pez League or My Club, like just if there's a way that you can get onto the field, it's to me, it's just beautiful. It's so well done. You can really tell the difference when you have really good players and when you have not really good players. You know, with any video game and with any soccer game, there are still frustrations. Sometimes I don't pass the ball to the guy that I want to, but I pass the ball to the guy that I want to a lot more in Pro Evo than I do in FIFA. It's not even close. The animations are just beautiful. The passing I love. I can shoot pretty well. And again, sort of when I do well, Brian, I do well because I know what I'm trying to accomplish and I'm able to execute it because I figured out, you know, I've never looked at a single, you know, help video or anything for Pro Evo. I just played it and played it and played it and played it and I played and played and played because it's just so fun. So anyway, you know, whether, you know, I know for a lot of people, it's not like a financial thing, because as you mentioned, you can get Pro Evo, you know, demo versions or light versions where you can at least just have a little fun and play the game and see on the field. I think it's for most people just more of a time and choice thing, right? Like, sure, who wouldn't want to try Pro Evo? But, you know, when you've got FIFA and Madden and NBA 2K and NBA Live and Spider-Man and Red Dead, right, all competing for your attention. And I just named, you know, just a sliver of all the different games, you know, that's what I think it is. Cause everyone that I talk to that has played Pro Evolution, whether it's 17, 18 or 19, they all say to me, it's great. You know, who's a Uber YouTuber, our good friend, Daniel Basil. He's huge on the Pez train right now. He's doing a bunch of videos and he's playing, you know, My Club. So go check him out. So just whatever you can do. I'll stop now because I say it all the time. Go play it somehow. It's great. You'll love it. I promise.
Oh, okay. Yeah, even the first time I tried it, like the first time I gave it a serious shot, like 2 years ago, I think in the first game there was a play and I was like, I have never seen the CPU in FIFA run that route, which is the route I always want the CPU to run in FIFA. And Pez did it the first play of the game. And I was extremely impressed by it.
So have either of you played any FIFA 19 yet?
No, because it's competing for my time, and I'm going to because I have it through EA Access, but I've been playing the other game that or another game that I know we're going to talk about as well.
TJ, did you try it? It's out on, as we record this, it is out on EA Access, Origin Access.
Not yet. I guess I need to download my EA Access thing. Actually, I might try it on my EA Access on PC. Or my Origin Access on PC.
Do you have regular Origin Access or Origin Access Premier?
I believe it's Origin Access. Is it Basic?
Yeah. Who knows?
I think that's what it's called. So I think I'll get the 10 hours. But yeah, if you have Premier, again, they're having it. You already have the whole game with no restrictions right now. So that's really cool.
Yeah. So I'll start with my thoughts on FIFA because we're talking about Pro Evolution Soccer and it's come up a bunch in the last 3 weeks or so since that's been out. It was just kind of nice that we had that gap there to get a feel for one game before the other came out. And I've been on the Pro Evolution bandwagon for several years now, Rich. You know this. I think I've consistently either rated it the same or higher than FIFA. And I would say I preferred it with the exception, of course, of the licensing issues. And I think the feature set in FIFA has always been deeper than that of Pro Evolution Soccer. They just have more resources. This is a year after playing, I played still a limited amount of time, but I've spread that around a bit. I feel like this is the year that maybe it all has come together for FIFA. This is the year where I feel like I prefer FIFA. And I kind of had that gut feeling going in. I think several months back we did, we talked about what game was shaping up to be the best this year, or had the best chance to be the best. And I thought it was going to be FIFA. And, I feel like that has come about. My first match of FIFA, Rich, so they send you right in to a Champions League match, right? It's the first thing. It's, you can't.
Oh, that's great.
You can skip it.
What a great idea.
Yeah,
I
you
love
can,
that.
This is a kind of a thing that EA does pretty commonly in their games, is they'll send you into something that centers around what's new for a year, and kind of give it a special presentation, a special moment to kick you right off with that. And it's really impressive. And I think the one thing it really did was just further accentuate the difference in presentation and atmosphere and the way that you can capitalize on licenses. And it really kind of made me look at Pro Evolution differently in that sense. Like, I knew there was always a difference
yeah.
there. We knew FIFA had the advantage in certain areas. But, man, going from playing Pro Evolution for a few weeks to that, it's,
you're right.
It's a whole nother level.
You are completely right. I cannot disagree with you at all. And that's why I love FIFA. I love both of these games. I'm not an either or. I'm a both guy. And I was chatting with somebody on Twitter for 10 seconds about it today. They were talking about, they were, the conversation started with NBA Live and NBA 2K. And the guy was like, I like them both. Right? 2K is great, but I love Live. I said, yeah, you know, it's just like me with soccer. I love Pro Evo and I love FIFA. It's not like one, love the other. I love them both. Last year, I played a ton of FIFA. And I'm going to play a ton more FIFA. And you know what I probably might try for the first time ever this year is FIFA Ultimate Team. Hmm. Because if I'm trying the Pro Evolution of my club, I should probably do the same thing in FIFA. Because, of course, that's what everybody plays anyway. Like, I am the last – I mean, late to the party doesn't describe it, right? I am well beyond that. So I'm all in on FIFA. It's just – it's competing for my time. And right now I haven't done it, but I'll get there.
Yeah, you're going to love that first experience you have with it.
I'm sure.
Very smart on EA's part to put people right into something that really just enhances – everything about and puts on display everything that's so great about the game. So you get in through that, and then you can play it. I played it, and then you can exit out if you want. And I went and did a few other things. So I didn't really go into its career mode yet. I did some of, okay, so I really, really like what they've done with their kickoff mode this year. If you remember, they added a bunch of different ways to play just the standard kickoff mode. Now, kickoff or play now, whatever you want to call it, from various sports games. That's really been a staple of sports games going back as long as I can remember, but there hasn't been much done with it. I think the most that's been done with a kickoff / play now is giving you the ability to start a season or a franchise after playing a single game, along with the seasons, their respective seasons. But they've done some really cool stuff with this. I wish you could play online this way. I don't think you can, but they have these different methods of playing, just regular match play now against the CPU or against in person, of course, against a friend. So you got things like no rules. So that one's kind of cool because you don't have to worry about offsides. You don't have to worry about fouls or getting red cards or anything. So that's almost a simplified way to play the game. It's like if you went into NHL and turned off offsides and icing and things like that. It gives you the opportunity to play really uninterrupted almost and just let that flow and momentum keep going. Kind of cool in that sense. The survival one is almost like, I don't know if you could compare it to
Battle Royales.
Yes, Battle Royale. That's the word I'm going for because you're
okay.
It's not Battle Royale because you're not going down to the last person, but It is kind of giving you that strategy of you're knocking people out, but you're knocking your own people out by scoring. So it almost balances the games up. So if you're playing someone who's better than you, well, they just scored. They're up 1-0, and now they are down a person to you. So you have a chance to draw even, or if they're really better than you, they'll just keep knocking their own players out, and they'll keep scoring anyway. But one of the things I liked about it, too, was that the commentators actually reference these things. So you start up the match, and they're like, and they mention, oh, there are no rules in this match, or in the survival one, they'll mention this guy's been ejected from the game, things like that. And then they have other variations, long-range scoring from outside the box, I think it is. You can only score on headers and volleys and another. You have the first two, whatever goal number you want to set. So I really like that. It adds some flavor to that kickoff mode, and I thought it was kind of fun. And then, let's see, I started The Journey, which is, of course, in its third year of the story mode. And we're coming off, we'll talk about NBA 2K in a bit. We're coming off 2K story mode, and I started up The Journey, and I like 2K story mode, but The Journey feels like it's a more professional, it's more professionally done kind of top to bottom. They've obviously spent 3 years on the same characters as opposed to switching out characters and starting a new story every year. So I think they have that advantage in doing so, but it's really, really neat. That one starts with another cool experience where you're playing a historical match from, I believe it was 1969, with Alex Hunter's grandfather, who's been a character in the mode. And you actually play, and it looks like it's old-timey, and the ball physics are completely different. Really, really cool experience there. You're playing in the mud, too. The graphics look neat for that because you don't see that all, ever. I don't know. Do we ever see mud in FIFA? I don't think so.
Now that you mention it, I don't recall ever seeing that. Although I don't recall seeing it a lot in real soccer either.
So. No, not anymore. But I guess it was probably, fields were probably not in the same pristine condition as they are today back then. The story mode carries over things like how you personalize the character from the last year when they let you do that. It carried over some of the results. It's already referenced a few things from that second season of The Journey. And you're also playing through it as three different characters. Alex Hunter and Danny Williams and I think it's his half-sister is also involved in this. I should have written that down. But anyways, so you're getting a lot of variety out of that, and you're basically following three different storylines within it. Very well acted, very well written and grounded, and it's great production value, of course. And yeah, you know, I'm loving FIFA so far. I feel like it's probably a contender, at least in my mind, for sports game of the year at this point. Gameplay-wise, it feels different to me. I've seen reviews already written about FIFA, and it says the game's basically the same with the exception of Champions League and kickoff mode stuff and Ultimate Team stuff. I don't feel that way. It feels like it plays a lot differently to me. The ball seems to be all over the place in a good way. It's less predictable. I'm getting more creativity. I'm able to be more creative myself, but I'm also seeing that from the CPU. And for an average player like I consider myself to be, that's kind of neat. It's happening organically. A lot of things like deflections off of passes and shots I'm seeing more of. I'm seeing players take better angles and pursue loose balls more naturally. The only thing I've noticed is I haven't really seen many fouls. So that's and FIFA's had this issue ever since they put in I forget what animation engine, what name they had for it, like back FIFA 12 or 13.
But the Infinity Engine?
Yeah, I think it was prior to that. But you get
True
a
Player
lot.
Motion. I don't even know. Too many names.
Yeah,
Protac? Was that one?
That was Madden, yeah. basically, you see a lot of collisions, and you see a lot of interactions that look like severe collisions or look like certain fouls. And the game just does not register that. So it may just be a visual thing where it looks a certain way, and within the engine, it doesn't believe it to be a foul, but you kind of feel like, wow, that should have been a foul. But otherwise, yeah, I really like FIFA so far, and I feel like
they call a lot of fouls? Are there fouls? Yellow cards, red cards? Because one of you know, my few complaints with Pro Evo, at least the way that I play it, which is on default. You know, pro mode, and I don't mess around with any of the sliders or settings. Mm-hmm. There's just no the computer never commits a foul ever. So, are there any fouls in the games you played don't commit? Because I commit fouls all the time.
So I
do, but they call me regularly. But the CPU doesn't commit fouls against me.
Yeah, I have not seen. I don't think I've seen. Oh, I've seen fouls, but I haven't seen any cards yet. And in Pro Evolution, I try to play basically the same style, and I was getting more cards in Pro Evolution and more fouls called over there this year. It was something I've noted for when I eventually get to that review to completing it, which I'll probably do along with FIFA, that this year there were more fouls being called in Pro Evolution than in the past, which is an issue that people have had with that series also.
Yep. So, I mean, I can't ever remember, you know, the CPU committing a foul that resulted in a yellow card or a red card. Certainly never a red card. And if there was a yellow card, it hasn't happened in 2019 at all. And I don't recall it happening in 18 either.
Yeah. So that's something I got to monitor as I play FIFA a little more. That it's the foul situation. I mean, I had one where it was almost like a breakaway, and it was Ronaldo, and it was in that first Champions League match, Rich. And I got taken down by a guy in the box, and it looked from my angle like he didn't get any of the ball, and Ronaldo just went, he basically did like a full flip. It was that severe. I went back in the replay, and the guy did get a piece of the ball, but I have trouble believing that that's enough. Like, I don't know. It just looked really bad. And I thought that should have been something, or I should have been something should have been communicated about it one way or the other. And I had nothing to go on off of that. So that's just kind of where I'm at with FIFA now. But over the next week,
can I file a 2-prong complaint with video games in general?
Yes, go for it.
Part one, there's too many games.
There's too part many games two. At once. Let's spread them out. I think we're okay with the number.
And part two is these marketing cycles are so long that literally everything you were saying about the kickoff mode, I was like, they put all this stuff in last year, right? Because I feel like I heard about this so long ago. I think we really heard about it like 3 months ago, like June or July when at E3, or maybe even before E3, some of the stuff
EA
was coming
play,
out.
Possibly before it, yeah.
Man, like, I literally was like, yeah, this survivor mode they put in last year, because that was a long, long time ago when I heard about it. But
yeah, there are two approaches. Obviously, we see the ones that extend out like that and go back months, and then we see ones like NBA 2K, which holds almost everything back until the last few weeks. So it's different strategies, and with so many games, so many sports games releasing here between August and mid-September or late September, that those things are all going to overlap. So,
you know, it's funny,
us,
as a consumer, I love the short marketing cycle. I love the, oh, we're announcing this. Oh, and by the way, you can either, I know get it now is a little too extreme, but you can pre-order it. And by the way, you can pre-order it, and it's going to be out in 3 or 4 weeks, right? Like when I love that, because there's so many things competing for your attention. And I much prefer the short marketing cycle to the long one.
Yeah, I want it the shorter the better. Even just this week, Sony San Diego did a stream today, and today being Thursday when we're recording this. But on Tuesday, they announced the stream, and they had a bunch of their Sony partners like releasing some of the cards that they were going to be talking about on Thursday. And Tuesday, everybody was talking about it. And then at 4 o'clock this afternoon, an hour before the stream, I was like, oh, yeah, they're doing that stream today. I had completely forgotten, because all the news and stuff was flying so fast that I had completely forgotten about this thing that they promoted 2 days ago for stuff that's coming out tomorrow. And I'm
it's there's a lot of stuff going on for a lot of games, and there's just a lot to try to process.
And it's very, it's a lot of very specific stuff too, especially.
But you know what's great?
Yeah.
What's great is that they're all good. And so I like what I'm doing, which is I'm not trying to play everything at once because I don't have to, first of all, right? Like in years past when I would do reviews on a lot of these games, it would be very different. But I'm perfectly happy, you know, Pro Evo, thank goodness, came out like 3 weeks ago. I'm perfectly happy to spend a lot of my time in that. And then after a season and a half or two, then dive into FIFA for 2 or 3 months, and maybe that becomes my treadmill game. You know, we're going to talk about another game shortly that I've been playing. You know, I didn't play that the second it came out. Waited a couple of weeks, but now I'm starting to play that. Like, it's almost nice for me. I like having something to look forward to. I'm looking forward to FIFA very much. And when I say I'm looking forward to it, meaning, like, could be a week, could be a day, could be 3 or 4 weeks. You know, don't know. I'm going to play a lot of NBA 2K, but I might, you know, sort of put starting my league off for a couple, 2 or 3 months. Like the amount of quality is spectacular, and I love that. And I don't feel the need to try to get it all in. Like there's a whole fall and winter and spring, and there's plenty of time to get to these, and they're all so good. And so I look at it kind of a little bit differently, but again, that's because I don't have to write reviews on all this stuff like you do, Brian. It's very different for you. I get that.
Yeah, I don't have to. I've actually, because there have been too many games, I can't dig into a single one. I'm trying to build up experience with all of them, and it's been difficult because of that. It's kind of ridiculous, but. One of those is, of course, NBA 2K19, Rich, which, as I know you and I share the same sentiment on this, that basketball games should not be out in early September when the seasons don't start until well into October. I think it's easier to wait on that one, although NBA 2K19, probably the most anticipated, at least in North America, sports game of the year, so most people do not wait. FIFA being the one that's the most anticipated in the world, another game that most will not wait for. But we have 2K19, TJ, and I know that's one you wanted to talk about. And traditionally, you have not really been that basketball game guy.
That's my backup Twitter account, that basketball game guy.
Yes.
So kind of what happened was my brother-in-law just had a new child a couple days ago. And usually I play with him and I always lose because he's like pretty good at the game. And I was like, well, I guess he's going to be around. He's going to have time because, you know, little babies sleep a lot for the most part. That's the good thing about a very little baby. So I was like, you know what? I'll pick it up and I'll play a little bit and maybe we'll run some of this My Park. You know, I've heard good things about the Prelude and all that. So I picked it up and I was like, let's give this a shot. Because my thing has always been, the controls, there's just way too many controls. And even if you go into the menu now and look at the controls, I think there's like 9 different tabs and a very long scrolling list. And I'm pretty sure those are just like the base versions of moves to do. I need to get into 2KU and start studying a little bit. I jumped into My Career, did that whole thing in China, which I thought was really cool and an interesting way to do it. Especially with having the Chinese broadcasters and everything.
Yeah, that's what really seals it there.
Yeah, and it's funny because I really loved the Pro Baseball Spirits games on PS3, and I kind of loved the Japanese baseball announcers, even though I had no clue what they were saying.
The emotion still comes through.
Yeah, like even during the World Cup, I'll sometimes flip on the Spanish channel because they're not as robotic as some of the American announcers, and it's just a refreshing change. So all that Prelude thing was really cool. And so here's my question: if you download just that Prelude from the store, like mm-hmm. that they put out kind of as like the demo, you play that whole thing all the way till he goes, like, where does that end? Does that actually end? Like,
it ends at him.
That last game on the Lakers or whatever?
He goes, the Prelude ends at the where he goes from China to the D-League. It ends with him arriving in Los Angeles to join the D-League.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so you still get a good little bit. I was thinking. Yeah, I thought it went a little further, but
yeah, no, it was still like a good hour and a half or something.
And that carries over to the full game if you get it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. I'm only like a week or two into my first real season, mainly because the last couple nights we've been going into my park a little bit. And so jumping into my park without having done a bunch of career stuff is definitely asking for like $20.
That's intentionally designed that way, yes.
And I only bought the standard version. I didn't get the ultimate or whatever they call it. The
anniversary edition, even though it's not the 20th. But
yeah, and it's got the, I think you get 100,000 VC with that. So I didn't do that. So my guy was like a 63 or a 64 the first time I went out there.
Yeah, ouch.
And I think a lot of people bought that version of the game, so like a lot of people are like 88s.
Yeah, you take the VC that you got with the anniversary edition was enough to take you to a 75. So I believe I read somewhere, because it was 100,000 VC, I believe I read somewhere to get into the mid 80s you needed to spend close to like 200,000 VC just to get up there.
And that was almost my idea, was buy the regular game and then spend $50 on 200,000 VC, I will have twice as much VC, and I've only spent an extra $10.
Yeah. You know, I won't interrupt for long, but I will interrupt. I've been thinking about this a lot the last couple of days. It's really just a different focus. Like, as a consumer, you're aware of this now, maybe not as aware as you guys are both making me of the sort of the exact specifics, but regardless, knowing, you know, NBA 2K, it's almost like you tell yourself, like TJ, you tweeted about this, should I do this or should I do that? It's almost like, look, if you want to play NBA 2K in the My Player mode, you just got to tell yourself, you know what, this is $150 to $200 game for me, and you have to either be okay with it or not. Like, that's what we're talking about here, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing or a good thing. It's just, it's got to be, it's like, it's $60 to get in the door, and I'm probably going to need to spend $100 or $125 or maybe even more. I don't know what that number is, but clearly it's more than $5 or $10. Mm-hmm. Like that's just what this is.
Yeah, and the real problem is that everything's so tied together that, like, now I'm going to go back into my, like, I spent $20. I was like, I'll just do a little bit. Because the problem is that guy is also your My Career guy, unless I'm wrong.
Yes.
That's tied to your My Career guy. And I was actually kind of happy being the 63 in my rookie season and working my way up and getting better that way. And now my guy's a lot better. Like, I think I played like three games. I'm a power forward, which I have a whole nother set of complaints coming on after that. So I'm a power forward, and the first couple of games I played, you know, I'm coming off the bench, played pretty good. But I think I wasn't going up against other like really good power forwards. And then I ended up going up against the Knicks, and like, first play, Porzingis got the ball, drove on me and slammed it. And I was like, that's sucks that this guy just dunked on me. I'm like, that's kind of cool because I know that dude's nasty and I'm not good. And he just destroyed
me. That's what should happen. Right.
Right. But now, because I wanted to go play my park with my friend, with my brother-in-law, you know, I was super underpowered. So I kind of, there was a lot of pressure to go throw $20 in, get 75,000 VC, build my guy up to like a 76 or whatever he is now. And now I don't really want to, like, I'm going to go back and play more My Career because I like it. But it's like, well, now I've cheated. And now I've given my guy the digital steroids in that mode. And I don't love it. And then the other thing is, like, if you are like me and don't know really what you're doing, and you build your guy and you go into the game and you don't like it, well, you're kind of, it seems like you're pretty much, you know,
that is
poop out of luck.
That is one of the biggest complaints with the way they designed this, is you can create one character and you really are, like you said, stuck with it. Because if you start over, you're starting from scratch. It's not like you get that 100,000 VC back to use on the new character by deleting your current one or something. You're starting at 60. and you're starting and going to have to earn your way or buy your way back up. So, so that's why it's so important, and it shouldn't be that way, but it is so important that you pick the type of player you want to control for the whole year. You have to know this on day one. You have to know what archetype, you know, I got Scott O'Gallagher after I started the Prelude. It's like, what was your archetype? Well, here's what I picked. And I guess I'm, you know, I guess that's what I'm going to have for the year. So I hope it's a good one. I really did not look into it very much beyond just like, all right, I'm going to take a power forward who's a good post scorer and a good rebounder and work on those. And hopefully that's a fun guy to use. I don't know yet.
Yeah, I'm driving and finishing and 3-point shooting, which I guess is okay.
That's tough. I'm a driver. I'm a driver and a then also passing and ball handling, because I don't think you can, and I have no idea, but I would think it would be tough to be good at those two things where you're literally playing at opposite ends of the court. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, it's been working for me because I've also because I'm very new to the game and like figuring out systems and everything. So it's like I'm pretty much. When I'm playing in my career, I'm pretty much setting a pick and then I'm going to roll off. And it's like, I can make the jumper if he passes it to me, or I can drive the lane. I think I'm like a 65. I think I can max out at like 65 or 70 for 3-point shooting. So I'm never going to be amazing at it, but it just seemed like an interesting combo. And even on day one, if you like look at the screens and you're like, okay, this works. And I guess this works. But that's not actually what you need to do. You need to go online and find someone on Twitter that's already made, like, this is the Excel spreadsheet that you need to look at, and these are the archetypes, and which way you want it to work, and that's how it's going to be. Yeah. And it's like, that's a lot of outside-the-game work you have to do. And what's also not, like, disingenuous or, like, kind of false marketing, I got really into some of the NBA 2K League last year, and they were just like, oh, you know, they lost this game the first time they played. So now this guy's going to change up his archetypes. But he's still, you know, I think they all play 85 rated or something.
Yeah, were all basically either an 85 or 90. I forget what it was. Yeah. But yeah, they differentiated in the archetypes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they could switch them up. Like if they're playing like a series of games, they could just like, all right, next game I'm switching to a different archetype.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something I can do unless I want to go start up again, spend another bunch of money. And I assume even like the closing stuff doesn't transfer over. So maybe I spent 7,000 coins getting those PG2 PlayStation shoes because they look real sick. And I did that maybe. But they're locked to this guy who, like Rich said, you know, he's going to be able to drive and he's gonna be able to shoot a little bit, but is that really great for going in and playing my park and the rec? And what's even, the part that even is like even frustrates me a little bit more is, so I'm playing on the Celtics. I'm a power forward, but like, what if I get traded to a team that's like, hey, you know what? You're 6'11 and a half. We're going to actually put you at center. And why don't you get more rebounds? It's like, well, I can't, because I can't change anything I can't become a glass cleaner.
I don't like being in the mix like that. The elbows, they hurt. Shoot, score.
Just gotta get that layup rating real high.
But
again, my big thing with the game has always been like the controls are really a lot to learn. And I think this year, by going in doing the prelude and going through the my career stuff, I feel like that's been a very good entryway into the game, rather than just being like, all right, I'm gonna go hop in, play 5-on-5 and try to learn all the controls. Also try to learn, like, this guy has one jump shot that you have to time. This guy's got a different one.
Yep.
I think going into my career to start as, like, a new player to the game is definitely the way to get yourself onboarded a lot easier into that.
Absolutely. That's been something that we've recommended, I think, for a long time, is that these single-player modes, whether they be just your standard career mode or story modes, really is a good way for people to get accustomed to the game, because you're only responsible generally for your own player. So you're not dealing with, in a basketball game, five different players. You're not dealing with running plays necessarily. You're you're just kind of trying to make things happen for yourself. And when you got the ball in your hands, you can do certain things. You don't need to worry about what everybody else is doing. It just really simplifies it. And yeah, the controls are super complicated if you want to get into, you know, the crazier moves and the crazier options you have at your disposal. But you don't have to do those things. Yeah, you know, your position, TJ, you're not going to be crossing over anybody, most likely, anyway. So there's a lot of stuff you don't really have to worry about in that regard. And that's why, like, all right, take a post guy, just call for the ball down low, do a spin move or something and shoot, or do a hook shot or whatever. And you can just concentrate on those things instead of, all right, now not only do I have to know how to do that, but I also have to know how to run an offense as the point guard or how to get off a quick jump shot before a defender closes space for a three-point shooter, or how to drive to the basket as a slasher, or whatever, you know, whatever it is. You're just concentrating on your one area. And I think that is, like you said, that's probably the best way for a new person to learn and get a good feel for the game and get some confidence in the game, instead of, because if you go in and you don't know what you're doing, I don't care if you turn the difficulty down to the lowest setting, Rich, if you go in to a 5-on-5 game and you don't know what you're doing, I don't think you're going to last very long.
You know, it's so funny too. I don't ever do this, but I, the other day, and they hit it really well. It used to be front and center, but I went into the, like, whatever the PlayStation, you know, when you're navigating the menu and you can, and everybody's live streams are right there, you know, the integrated, like, live PlayStation Live, I think is what that is. Like, it used to be like right on the main menu, and now, like, I had to go search for it. But I went to see, number one, like, who was sort of playing what the charts looked like. And of course, Fortnite was way ahead of everything else. But then number two or number three was NBA 2K, and I wound up diving in and watching for, like, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. Just wanted to see what was going on and what people were playing. And there was somebody playing a 5-on-5. I think it was the Pro-Am. And they were communicating really seriously and being coordinated and doing all sorts of stuff that I was thinking, like, my goodness, I wouldn't know. I would not know what to do in there. And I would be a serious problem for anyone whose team I was on.
Yeah, and it really seems like, from the limited that I've played, like, even in the park, like, I don't watch a lot of basketball or, like, know a lot of basketball. So I just kind of play, like, real simple, just, like, real fundamentals, I guess, is what they would be. And I felt like, even at, like, the 74, when we were playing up a team against a team of, like, 288s, as long as I was just, like, kind of playing smart, you could play good at those lower levels.
I think that's a difference this year, TJ. I don't know if you would feel that way in the past. Like, I think they have eased up a little bit on that because of all the complaints. I think that's probably one minor area that they adjusted, is that even though you start at a 60, if you have the difficulty at the default setting, you're still going to be able to have some success, enough that you can feel like you're contributing. In the past, you could do pretty much nothing at your 60 or 55, whatever they'd start you at. And within the context of the story, it made even less sense in the past, where you're thrust into the NBA as, like, a first rounder or whatever, and you've got a 60 overall rating, and the commentators are talking about how you're the greatest player ever, and you're on the rise, you're the next Michael Jordan, but you can't hit a jump shot.
Yeah. Or you try to do a crossover and the ball just rolls away.
And you trip over your own feet. Yeah, so it's. I think that's one of the things that I noticed too, is that even at the lower ratings, you can have success. Yeah, those guys are going to have, with the higher ratings, they're going to have more margin for error. So you do have to play a little cleaner. But yeah, it's not as distressing to go in and try and compete with a lower rated person this year.
Yeah. So my big takeaway is, I really just kind of wish for, like, my park and stuff, they would go to, I think NHL and FIFA both do it now, where, you know, depending on what position you play, you can make that position guy better, but you still have the option of switching off and doing different things. Because right now, if you have friends that you're going to play, you know, the stuff with, you all need to communicate, like, before you even start playing, like, all right, I'm going to be the power forward. You're going to be the shooting guard. You're going to be the point guard. Because if I make a power forward and you make a power forward, we're going to have a problem when we play. Especially if we go into, like, my park and we're just going to play 2-on-2, we're probably screwed. But, so I wish they gave you some way to change up some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I really liked my career, except for one point I got real confused, like at the end of...
Hold on. Don't spoil this because I'm not all the way there yet.
Did you finish the first season?
No.
Rich, that's doable. Come on, buddy. That's TJ's talking about the you basically finish up the primary story, right?
Yeah, so hopefully I don't spoil Rich. But yeah, at the end, you do your China part, and you have that last game in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, a cutscene there that they just dump a whole lot of information on you. And I'm like, how? I'm like, I was definitely just playing. Rich, close your ears. It's like, I was definitely just playing and got kicked off my team, and now I'm playing on the Lakers with the guy that doesn't really like me, but now we're friends.
Uh-huh.
I was like, did I miss something? I was like, did I just black out and get to this point in the game?
I think it was almost like you're teaming up, really, because your enemy is on the opposing team. I think you're more worried about him. But yeah.
But then they bring out Michael Rapaport again, and I'm like, "What? I don't under. Why are you even here
for a cameo?" That's all it was. There's no point to it. But yeah, there is a lot of. It's not a story. Like, I like this story. It might be their best one yet, but it's not a story you can really analyze and find a whole lot of logic in. Obviously, there's a whole lot of stuff that happens in this that is silly and doesn't make complete sense.
I mean, I was with it right up. And then I was like, why am I in the Lakers? I was like, what happened?
It doesn't make any sense because you would not be signed to start on a team that's playing for a spot in the playoffs in its final game, first of all. The whole situation is unreal.
So you completely ruined it for me.
I didn't ruin anything, Rich.
What happened?
You have no idea what we're talking about still.
I've only gotten through a couple of games in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So that's where I am. So I'm well behind you.
You actually don't have that many games to play then.
Yeah, you're almost done.
Okay, good. Well, that's what I mean. Like, I've put in a couple, two and a half hours at least. And so, you know, that's...
Well, just like in the past, though, Rich, you're going to get through that main story part, and then it's going to transition to its more standard...
Which is fine. I'm fine with that. Yeah. Is that why I can't do anything with my guy? I can't change his attributes or upgrade? Is because of that? Like, am I...
You can do that.
Okay. I can't find out where I would, you know, increase my shooting or any of my skills. I can do, like, certain things, like with my appearance, but, like, where I am right now, I can't figure out.
There's a section to change your attribute, to increase your attributes and stuff.
I did it midway through. I can't find it. And I've looked. And I haven't looked hard, but I've looked. So,
I thought you couldn't do it in... that part, but I guess if Brian says you can, I believe Brian.
I can't. The question is whether I did it from within the story or if I did it from, like, your main my career menu. I couldn't find where to do it anywhere. So in between games, in between cutscenes and all that, there are some times where you hit, like, a static screen where it's like, all right, now you can proceed to the next game or whatever, right?
Yeah, no, I know.
That's
and
where
then
you do it
from. Down. No, that's where you go to my player, and every time I go in there, I can do certain things. I can change my appearance.
There's a whole other menu section.
There's three things that you can do. None of them I go into that, and there's no place for me to increase my attributes. It's just looking at different badges that I can't get.
Yeah, I don't.
No, it's there. Brian, I used it. It's there.
Not for me.
I'm gonna go.
I'm telling you, Brian.
Go start a new My Career right now.
I'm gonna take a screenshot for you at some point.
Because I know the screen Rich is talking about, where you see it's like you edit your face and then you can edit your animations.
Yeah, it's not within that. It's within another option on the.
But what blew me away is everybody's talking about, and I know they're not. I know it's true. Everyone's talking about how this game is shoving VC in your face to make my player better. I literally want to make my player better, and I can't find it. That blows my mind.
Yeah,
but I feel like if you're just going to play my career, I would say don't even get VC. I feel dirty about it.
He's still earning VC.
Yeah.
As he goes, and he wants to spend that. So,
yeah, but I have a feeling that once I'm done with my career and it transforms into just, you know, playing the games and stuff, which I like, I have a feeling that's when I'm going to hop into my GM because I loved my GM last year. And I love the story. I know there's a story mode there too. I can't wait. That's what I'm gonna do.
I think you're going to dig it, Rich, even though it's still ridiculous the amount of reading they expected.
Good.
No, that's not good. It's okay. But it continues the story. It continues off from where the last one ended.
I love it. So I love it. It's so absurd. It shocks me. I've talked about it many times. How for a licensed game they get away with what they get away with. The fact, and this is maybe not even funny, what they don't portray Fort Wayne, Indiana in a particularly nice way. And the Fort Wayne Mad Ants are a real team in a real city.
Yeah.
Now I want a t-shirt.
Yeah, they're making fun of the small town and
I was a little like, really? But they also say how good the fans are and how they always show up, right? So they do say some nice things too. It's not just like killing them, but like this is my ignorance here, okay? I did not realize Fort Wayne Mad Ants were a real team. After like playing it for a little bit, I Googled it. I'm like, "Oh my gosh." They are real. And the reason I didn't think they were real was because how ridiculous they made the coach and how, you know, they talked about like how out here they ain't anything to do. And it was the sticks and stuff like that. So I'm just going to jump into my talk about my career right now.
They're actually, Rich, there are actually multiple G League teams in that. I don't know if you noticed, but the team that you initially thought you were going to be on, the South Bay Lakers, that's real.
And I know Greensboro is real, and I know the Sioux City Skyhawks are real because that's who I was playing right now.
Yeah, Skyforce.
Yeah. So here's my career. The first couple, 2, 3, 4 hours, whatever this scripted drama is, and again, TJ, you ruined most of it for me by spoiling the end.
It's but not really spoiled from anything we said.
It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It is so much better than any sports game story done, period. And it's not even close.
I don't know about that.
I'm talking about the production values.
I felt like most of the actors were, well, most of the named actors were underutilized.
Michael Rapaport's cameo scene was fantastic. The whole tuna sandwich arguing with
you
That was fantastic. It was ridiculous. It was absurd. Absurd in a good way. It was so ridiculous and funny. Like, why can't we like just have fun with this stuff? I love the way that NBA 2K19 is completely having fun with this. The whole thing about being, now I'm spoiling it, the whole thing about being traded for a sandwich was ridiculous and great. And then all of a sudden, he's also in these real situations, like his arguments or, you know, like the hostility that he faces from his teammate when both of these guys are trying to get the NBA. And then he got the bench warmer. That dude is fantastic. The scene where the bench warmer describes to AI what life is like in the G League, and it moves from one scene to the other, you know, from like the locker room to the fast food place to the playing cards. That was straight up fantastic movie making quality stuff, not just the way that was presented, which was great from a, like, you know, visual standpoint, but exactly what he was saying, the delivery. That's top notch stuff. That's so much better than anything I've ever seen. The only thing that even could come close is Longshot, but the visuals and the overall production values of my career beat Longshot, period. And I like Longshot. This is much better than Longshot. There are so many good moments. The whole relationship that he has with the female college basketball player that I've seen, and again, I haven't finished it. You guys know where I am near the end, is really, really good. This is an interesting person. You know, his the coach. The coach for the Fort Wayne club, you know, like this, I don't know who he is. I'm sure he's a real actor person, but like, you know, he is so over the top, but yet not over the top, but just ridiculous. I love what they did. Love, love, love it. It's so much more than they had to even think about delivering. That what blew me away was the quality of the writing, the quality of the conversations, the dialogues, completely in some ways absurd, but also real sounding. The visuals, the facial animations, the time that they took to put into this and make it good. I am so happy with it. I tweeted about it and people are giving me a hard time about it. Our good friend Mike Phillips is like, what are you talking about? That's fine. Maybe I'm just in a different mind frame. Maybe I just like to enjoy things, but I am so happy with the first couple, 2, 3, 4 hours of this quote unquote scripted drama. I think it's just awesome.
I agree with you 100%. I don't know if I would say it was better than Long Shot. They're both going for two different things. Like, this is a lot more lighthearted and funny, and I think Longshot had a lot more very serious parts into it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought they were both very well done. I really like this, and like I love that. Does he have a name? Does he the guy even have a name? Is it Brian? Is the bench rider? Who then I
don't know, but like, you know, he's like, look, I'm the last guy on the bench. I don't even think the coach even knows my name. Sometimes he confuses me with, you know, like the equipment guy. I'll be like, hey, can you pick up some towels? I'm like, yeah, sure. Whatever you need, man. It's all good. I don't know what his name is, but he's the end of the bench guy. Everybody knows who he is.
And I think my favorite thing that I loved that Longshot did, and I haven't played the new Longshot or any of the journeys because of this gripe I have. From what I've heard is they, so far in like the scripted part in the beginning, they're not making you go out there and play entire basketball games. You know, you're playing a good amount of them, but it's not like you have to go from minute one all the way through minute 48. I think basketball games are 48 minutes. You don't have to be out there the whole time. You know, Longshot had the good stuff where it was like, all right, just go do this little drive, do this little mini games and stuff. And it wasn't until like the very end of Longshot where it's like, okay, now you actually have to go play a full game of football. And I think that's what I really like about the first Longshot and the stuff in my career up to where I've played. And really the thing that's really been the thing that's kind of like kept me out of Journey in FIFA is that I've always heard that it's like, no, you're pretty much just playing full FIFA games. And then there's also this wrapper of a story around it. But I love that this has the story and the gameplay all kind of like meshes very well together, and it feels separated.
You're totally right. Like, you know what you're trying to do in each game. You got a thing to do. And let me tell you too, this is not hyperbole. So in one of the Mad Ants games, you need to get 5 assists. It's not easy as a power forward to get 5 assists. And I'm a power forward. You guys are power forwards, right? Like,
yeah, you get a lot of turnovers along with
you
that.
You get a lot of turnovers, and you get called, or not called, but you get a lot of, you know, decreasing team grades for holding the ball too long, you know, because the way to get an assist is to basically have the ball until you see somebody wide open and hope that when you pass them the ball, they'll take the shot. They don't always take the shot. So, like, one of the middle games is to get 5 assists, and I had 4 assists with in the last 30 seconds of the game, and it took me a while to sort of come up with a strategy for making an assist, which ultimately came down to, you know what, get near the guy with the ball with 10 seconds or so, or 11 or 12, and then ask for the ball and hope that he actually passes it to you, because if he doesn't, you take a hit on your team grade. And then basically run around until there's 4 or 3 seconds left and then pass it to somebody and hope that they shoot. So what happened was we were up by 3 or 4. So in the last like 20 seconds and 15 seconds when we got the ball, we got fouled. And so I was thinking, darn it, I'm going to get 4 assists instead of 5. And I don't know what the implications are going to be. Like, I don't know if there's no impact, if it matters or not. I have no idea. But what happened was somehow we got the ball back, and within about 5 or 10 seconds, and then I got the ball. Luckily, I went over to who had the ball and I called for it. And I let the clock get down to like 3.5 or 3, and then I passed the ball to a guy who happened to be open in the corner, who then took the shot and scored a 3-pointer, and I got my 5th assist at the buzzer. Like, ridiculous, amazing, fun, and completely gameplay-oriented, right? Like, I was already just having a great time because of everything surrounding it. And then in the game, to have such an amazing moment happen, a pure organic gameplay that I created, blew my mind. Loved it.
All right. Well, we're running a bit long, so let's get to one more thing here, a piece of news. We finally got something new on NBA 2K Playgrounds 2. I really dislike that name now. But after a couple months, so we had the game originally set to come out about 4 months ago, delayed 5 days away from when it was scheduled to release. We went 2 months with silence. Then we found out 2K is publishing the game. Then we went basically another 2 months with silence. Now we got some actual news on the game. It's going to be coming out on October 16th for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, November 9th for the Nintendo Switch. And we can already see some effects of the 2K partnership. Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant are going to be in the game. They were not in the original, so surely what you're saying is the licensing come into play here, because they're very close with 2K and in the NBA 2K games. And also a price increase. The game was originally going to release for $20. It's now going to release for $30. What we don't know is whether microtransactions, or we don't know for sure yet. I think we can all guess whether microtransactions are going to play a role within the game. If you remember the first NBA Playgrounds, it was kind of card pack based, but you were not paying for packs. That was just how you got players added to your roster, by earning packs and lucking into them. Eventually, they let you buy all the players, but it was not really set up in a way to get everybody to spend a whole bunch of money on it. And you couldn't really do that with an arcade game, especially its first iteration that nobody really knew and nobody really trusted, even though it did have the NBA license. So, how are we feeling about NBA 2K Playgrounds 2, Rich?
I feel great about it. I'm just worried for them that they're coming out at the time, and it'll be hard for them to get people's attention, as we were talking about earlier.
I was going to say, how do you get money from people who've already spent on all the, may have spent on NBA 2K a month later? How do you get more money from?
Well, that's the experiment.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. People say, we hear from people. I mean, one of the most constant themes, how long have we been doing what we're doing, relatively speaking, Brian? 10 years, you know, 15
longer,
years.
Yeah, for me. Longer,
one of the most consistent things I hear, and TJ, I know you hear it too, for people is, I want arcade sports video games. Where did they all go? I want them. So here you go. Do you really, or are you a vocal minority? We've seen these games struggle for their survival over the last 10 years, right? We lament that there's no bigs, right? The bigs, one of the best video games, not sports video games, just video games ever made, the bigs and the bigs too, just tremendously good video games. We lament the fact there's no NBA Jam right now. You know, there have been some, you know, over the years, thank goodness, and some are still playable. We lament the loss of the NBA Street. You know, there was FIFA Street. There was, you know, Blitz and NFL Street. Like, but the reason these games don't exist is because not enough people, for good reasons, bought them. So this is kind of an experiment. Are there enough people who want this kind of a game, and can they monetize the game in a way to make it worthwhile? I'm not guaranteeing there'll be microtransactions like you are, Brian. There likely will be, but maybe there won't be, right? Maybe this will be maybe that's why they raised the price to $30 to say, you know what, this is just a pure unit sales based thing. Let's see if we can, you know, A, break even with the licensing, and then B, you know, make a profit and see what happens. Who knows? We'll see. But we hear all the time that people want these games, and we know that those people say that for a reason, but are you willing to spend money on it? I don't know. You know, we'll see.
TJ, what do you, you know, what are your thoughts on NBA Playgrounds 2 here with a few weeks, well, a month until it comes out?
I am very wait and see on it because I don't know if you remember when NBA Playgrounds, the original, launched. Mm-hmm. There was just something off about the shooting and stuff in it. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, they had to patch that.
Well, I couldn't make a layup. I could make other shots, but I couldn't make a layup.
That when
I
got close to the hoop, I could.
Yep.
Yeah, and that was the big thing that really turned me off of it, like right at the beginning, and I maybe picked it up once or twice again after that. But yeah, if there's not like a demo or something that's going to show me that, you know, this feels right, because with arcade games, like, the main thing is the feel has to be right. Like, if you went to play NBA Live, or not NBA Live, NBA Jam, and you can I feel like you could tell within like 30 seconds of playing if it feels right. And $30 for a game that didn't feel right at the start of last year and might not feel right now, I think that's really a tough sell for people.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll end it there. Had fun talking about some of the sports games, and we only covered a few. There are many others that are out or about to come out. So we'll be hitting on, I'm sure, some of those more in the coming weeks. But Rich Grisham and TJ Lowerman, that's Sports Gamer. Thanks very much for joining me. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Press Roll Podcast. Take care till then.